This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Bertarelli, reporting for AvWeb and Aviation Consumer. If the 100 low-lead replacement challenge wasn't difficult enough, it may be about to get more so. Lycoming and Continental are at odds over real-world octane requirements for their engines. Continental wants 94 UL to be the new standard, while Lycoming believes this would be a huge mistake that would choke the general aviation market. Here's Lycoming's general manager, Michael Kraft.
When you take a look back and you take a look at what the research institutions are doing, people like Swift and GAMI, and you know there's folks in Europe that are doing this, people are demonstrating that you can get 100 octane on an unleaded fuel. Okay, it's not via the classical refining process. So you have to change something. You have to move the box a little bit to be able to get the 100 octane. But from what we've seen in the marketplace, the leading contenders are changing the process. They're able to get 100 octane without adding TEL to get to it. Are they economically viable? That's a whole new set of questions to it. The fact is that they've been able to generate enough interest that says that, yeah, they are. So we don't view attainment of 100 octane unleaded as being the problem. This is not about a fuel technology issue, okay? There are tremendous items around evaluating that fuel, but you can get 100 octane, and that's being demonstrated by multiple companies now without TEL additive. Okay, the big question is, how far do you have to move outside this wonderful avgas box that we've got right now?
Kraft and Lycoming believe that while 94 UL will perform in high-performance engines, it will result in significant stunting of the performance envelope, and owners and operators simply don't understand this.
94 UL base is going to clip that, is going to severely clip, once again, that 25% of the commercial users and the people who have the high-performance aircraft that are consuming 6% of the fuel, they're not going to be able to tolerate that shift. You know, there's a lot of details that you can go through, but you can't sustain a 6 to 9 octane drop in the fuel without affecting engine performance in some region. You know, you can always generate the rated power under some operating condition, but you got to be really careful when people talk about whether it's 94 or 91. The fact is, you've got aircraft designed around 100 octane, and the engines are designed right to there within the reasonable control limits on that. If you drop it below that, you're going to impact, you're going to derate engines. And that means you're going to derate the aircraft. And in some cases, the aircraft is no longer viable for the purpose that it was originally intended.
Electronic engine controls have gotten a lot of press as a solution to the 100 low-lead problem, but Kraft thinks buyers may be deluding themselves.
You know, you have to be honest, you can't change the laws of physics. Mother Nature is what Mother Nature is, and you know, that's the way the system has been set up. So we can work with electronic controllers on the margins of the problem, but you know, I'll tell you today, you know, technology, engine technology, a control system around an existing engine is not a panacea for a 6 to 9 octane drop. You can do so much, and then you're going to have to derate. You know, the IE2, at the same time, it's a great technology. You know, it would allow us to take, you know, a couple octane drop, but when you drop it that far, the system will actually derate the engine. It will protect the engine by derating it. So you can't overcome Mother Nature. The laws of physics apply to anyone at any time. There'll be a limit as to what technology can compensate. So although we'd like to say it's the automatic correction for everything, the truthful answer is technology controls technology. Okay, what we're talking about in the IE2 to some extent can only compensate so far. It's not a panacea, okay? And that would remain for, you know, really any system. You can work the margins of what the original design intent was so far, then you're going to have to derate to prevent, you know, the engine from going outside of its thermal management boundaries.
So where does that leave us? Kraft thinks the industry needs to forget 94 UL and embrace any of several unleaded 100 octane options that won't require engine modifications.
It can be the least economic disruption. What you get is you don't change a critical parameter for the performance of aircraft. So if we can get into that solution space, okay, we're talking about aircraft can still maintain their basic intended mission profile. If you move out of that, you know, like Lycoming could design a 350 horsepower engine to run on MoGas. The problem is, it's not going to be the same weight, it won't be the same durability, it won't be a $5,000 bolt-on to the aircraft. You're talking about a substantial re-engineering of it. So the 100-octane solution is what we feel is in the best interest of the overall industry. And this is not the manufacturers. I'm really talking about the owner-operators. They need to pay attention to this story really closely because they're the ones most affected by this situation. And that's our main concern is that the word gets out and people start paying attention and understand the implications. If the market comes back and says, you know what, we can accept the grounding of aircraft and the order of it doesn't take much to get to billions of dollars, that's one viewpoint. But I think today, if people really understood what's going on, they would understand we really need to set the objective at 100-octane fuel.
For Continental's counterarguments, see the related podcast in the AvWeb audio section and the July 2010 issue of Aviation Consumer. I'm Paul Bertarelli. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.